Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 7 through 13. So let me get our screen set for us. And here we go. I entitled this this evening's message, Jesus Christ Destroys the Work of the Devil. I want to repeat that topic tonight. Jesus Christ destroys the work of the devil. Let me just pause there before we get into our word. Saints of God, right now I truly believe that there is a spiritual oppression, a heaviness that has come upon the churches across our world. And we know in the book of Revelation it said that in the last days Satan would wear out the saints. And so there are many things happening in families, individuals, just in believers' lives. One of the main culprits of this attack of the enemy is he's trying to destroy marriages. Oh, that's right. You see, there's strategy behind it. For if he could get the husband and wife to divide, to separate, to divorce, guess what? He has the church now. Oh, that's right. Because then things start unraveling and falling apart. And so we have to understand the tactics of the enemy. We have to understand the ploy of which he has implemented in these last and evil days. And so we're hoping to get some insight in God's Word, especially in 1 John chapter 3, and the whole entire 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. It comes with enlightenment, ammunition, insight. It lets us know that there is an Antichrist spirit already at work. And so, my friends, once again, Jesus Christ, he destroys the works of the devil. So I'm ready to get going in this Bible study. And so let's go to the Word of God. Let's go back up here into the screen. And let's read chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. And here we go. And the Bible reads, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, and for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy" what? "The works of the devil." There it is right there. The works of the devil. Verse 9. "Whoever has been born of God does not sin." Does this sound contradictory? No. Let's move on and we'll explain all this. "For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God." Okay. Verse 10. "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." Wow. Wow, some heavy-duty stuff here tonight, saints. Look at this, verse 11 through 13. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should" what? "Love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous." Look at that, verse 13. "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." Wow, there's a whole lot to chew on right here. So let's go back and break down this Bible study, let's start with verse 7. And it reads, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices what? Righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Wow. You see, saints, apparently the false teachers who were denying the doctrine of Christ were also claiming that they knew God, yet they were living unrighteous lives. You see, John warned his dear children not to let anyone deceive them about this. And when people do what is right, it is because they are righteous through Christ. And even as Christ is righteous, saints, we must continue to follow him. You see, my friends, believers' righteousness is given to them by Christ and him alone, and naturally leads to doing righteous acts. Praise God. But in the same way, saints, a tree that bears good fruit is a good tree. Listen, our own righteousness is what the Bible describes as this. Our own righteousness. This is righteousness without Christ. So let's read this, what Isaiah wrote. Isaiah 64, 6. But we are all, look at this, all like an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are like what? Filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Wow. You see, my friends, the fruit doesn't make the tree good. It shows that it is good. And so, my friends, we must be careful. We must take heed. We must always be in Bible study, knowing who we are in Christ and the position we have. And so it's because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us through a heart of repentance first, and then the cleansing of his blood, and then the infilling of his spirit. Now we can stand before God the Father, and he could proclaim us righteous because Jesus imputed his righteousness upon us when he went to the cross, and we received it by faith. Praise God. So let's move on to verse 8 of 1 John chapter 3. Look at this. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This is where I got our topic tonight. You see, saints of God, Satan is the founder of lawless rebellion against God. Therefore, when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. Oh, I know, that's cut and dry. The devil has been sinning since the beginning, even before the creation of the world. Since then, as the prince of this world, he has been both sinning and causing people to sin as well. And these false teachers who spoke lies and sinned without any remorse showed that they belonged to the devil himself. Oh, wow. And those who followed these teachers were aligning themselves with the devil and thus fighting against the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friends, there is a cure for sin, however, praise God, because the Son of God came to destroy these works of the devil. And the Greek word behind destroy does not mean to annihilate. Rather, it means to break down, to undo, to render ineffective. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil in your life. I need you to catch the saints of God. Before you gave your life to Christ, some of us, not all of us, but some of us, were operating in the highest form of iniquity. Oh, that's right. Some of us were drug dealers, gangbangers. Some of us rebelled, didn't even finish high school. Some of us were running the streets, running with the best thugs you could think of, or actually unheard of. Oh, that was our MO. Now, granted, some of you grew up morally sound, and some of you grew up with good moral and a good moral character, but you still needed the Lord Jesus Christ, because without Jesus, none of us will get in. We need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb and be filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so, my friends, God delivered you and I from a life of wickedness and he imputed his righteousness upon us. And now we are the righteousness of Christ by faith. Praise God. Look what I found in the book of Ephesians right up here. In Ephesians 2, 14 through 15. Look at this. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. There was enmity between us and God at one time. Look at this, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create himself one new man from two, thus making peace. It had to be that way. See, we're the new man. For you women, you're the new man. That's how it's created. That's how it's described. But male and female, we are new creatures in Christ. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so this is why we are different from an unbeliever. An unbeliever don't have the mind of Christ like you and I. They don't comprehend our walk with Christ. They don't comprehend the Word of God. It's just ink on pages to them. They don't understand how you let the whole world go and all the things we were involved in to follow after a God they cannot see. Woo! But God has made the mystery of His will made known to you and I. Praise God. God has called us from the Listen, before the foundation of the world, He knew that He would draw us from darkness into His marvelous light. And so, my friends, God is so good. Come on, give God a shout of praise on what He has done for you and I. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, though it would have made more sense, humanly speaking, for Christ to have obliterated Satan, but He didn't. Instead, Christ came to undo Satan's work and thereby free people from sin and all its awful consequences. Praise God. John was therefore arguing that Christians cannot be involved in what Christ came to destroy. Praise God. We're not to go back and entangle ourselves to the things that we once did that were abhorrent. The Bible calls it, it's like a dog going back to its own vomit, or like a pig that gets taken out of the mud and mire. Wash it, cleanse it, give it a milk bath, and then open the door, it'll run right back into that pigsty. And we don't have that nature no more. How many are so blessed not to have that nature no more? Do we fall short? Yes. Do we sin every now and then? Yes. But here's the thing, we don't live in it no more. God has given us a mind to be saved, the heart to repent. God has given the power of the Holy Spirit to refrain, to know that if we do slip, that we get convicted by the Holy Spirit and we cry out, Abba, Father, help us. Forgive me. Give me power to continue with you, God. Give me a mind, God, to press through, oh God. Hallelujah. Sometimes deliverance comes through a heart of repentance. We're looking for deliverance, but yet, where is that meek spirit, that spirit of humility that should come upon us and cry out to God? And then God does the miraculous. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody got to give Him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Because God has made a way where there sometimes seems like there is no way. But God is the way maker. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go back to our word in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Look at this. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. This is what I've been referring to, saints of God. You see, saints, at first glance, these words appear to completely contradict what John said earlier. If we say we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves, right? Well, this passage states that those who have been born into God's family do not sin. They can't keep on sinning. Why? Because they have been born of God. That's right. We no longer stay in that mess any longer, saints of God. Praise God. Praise God. But I have a question here. Do Christians sin or don't they? That's a good question, huh? Oh, yes. That's a valid question. You see, my friends, experience tells every Christian that sin still has its hold. For true believers, however deep inside their spirits, they aspire not to sin. And this aspiration comes from the life of God within them. And when they were born again, a new life was born inside. Aren't you so blessed? How many are so blessed to know that? That once you got filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, God empowered us, enabled us to continue with Him, to love Him with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and to refrain from sin. And even though it has a pull, it has a magnet, Paul said, I realize now that there is a war in my members. Oh, that's right. And when you understand that, you understand that it's a good fight, that the flesh is fighting the Spirit of God that lives in you. That's a good sign. I want you to know that's a good sign when the battle is on. Why? Because you haven't succumbed to your flesh. And the Spirit of God is there to enable you to stand fast and watch the salvation of the Lord. Look what else I found here. I found this in 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21. Look at this. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Look at this. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new. Say that with me at home. He is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have what? Become new. Praise God. Praise God. Look at verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the what? Ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Praise God, praise God. Now, look at verse 20 and 21. Now then, say that with me at home. We are ambassadors. Say that again. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin, who? For us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And it's all by faith, saints. It's all by faith. You see, saints, Christians have this new life. God's life is in them, and they desire not to sin, and they fully renounce sin, because sin is entirely incompatible with their new life, and it should be. And although at times they may give in to sin, you and I may slip and trip and fall, but we don't stay there. They are continually fighting, praise God, the good fight of faith. Look, I got to bring you right back here to read this last. Look at this. For He who made no sin. Look at this. I want you to read that so that you get a full grasp of that, saints of God. Praise God. A full grasp of verse 21. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. That what? That we might become the righteousness of God in faith. And so there's going to be times that you and I are going to miss the mark. And you and I will always continually be fighting the good fight of faith, fighting against it. You see, sin is still active, but no longer has complete control over you and I. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God. That's why we need to be in the Word. It's to set His people apart from sin, to make them holy and pure as Christ is. Praise God. Praise God. So, let's move on to verse 10 in 1 John chapter 3. And it reads, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Wow. Well, that says a whole lot right there. I hope you know that. You see, saints, John spoke in absolutes. He offered no middle ground. A person belongs either to God or to the devil. And the conclusion of this matter is that believers can tell who are the children of God and who are the children of God without being judgmental. Oh, come on. And what does he mean? What does he mean? I want you to read this scripture again. Let's go back to this scripture. It says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Did you catch that? On this earth, there's children of God and children of the devil. I've been saying this for so many years. I'm glad we got to this verse of scripture because it is clear. God created mankind, but because Adam and Eve fell in sin, God withdrew from them, and mankind has been without God to bridge that relation back. So all humanity that comes into this world were God's created beings, but we're not God's people. We're not God's children until you become born again. And once you have repented of your sins, you have acknowledged that you have sinned, and then you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and then you're filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, then we are adopted. We are adopted into the family of God by faith. So now we can cry out, Abba, Father. Now we can go to God as our Heavenly Father. But those unbelievers are still of the devil. Well, case in point, look at their mindset. Look at their actions. Look at their speech. Look at their mannerism. Look where they're at. None of them have no desire for God. None of them pray. Some of them are living in alternative lifestyles. Some of them are still getting drunk, getting high. And out of their mouth comes perversion. Bleepity, bleep, bleepity, bleep, 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 bleep. That is not a child of God. Because a child of God who has the Holy Spirit will not have that language come out like that. Oh, come on. I know for some of you it hurts, because we have family members and friends that are still like that. But I'm giving you truth. I'm letting you read for yourself that there are children of God and children of the devil. And if you don't like that, take it up with the Word of God. Take it up to God. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail. Can I get an amen? And I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to preach and teach what the Scripture says. And it's point blank. There's no wiggle room. There's no purgatory in a sense that there's a middle ground. No, you're either for God and you are one of God's children, or you're for the devil. Case closed. You see, saints, the way to tell the pretenders is to see whether they obey God's commands and whether they love other Christians. Oh, that's right. Let's go back and read this. We read this before in 1 John 2:5, a chapter ago. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. Who? An attorney with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he made himself the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also, what? For the world. Look at this. Now we know this, that we know him, if we keep his commandments. You see, Bible study, learning, growing, attending. Attending prayer meetings, attending men and women Bible studies, midweek. Oh, that's right. Sunday morning. Learning to love, to honor the commandments. Look at this in verse 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are what? In him. There it is. The Word of God answers all of our dilemmas, all of our questions, saints of God. So let's move on now to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11. Look at this. For this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, that's right. We should. You see, saints, this comes not as a command, as in the old system, but of the law. But as an announcement of something good, something good. Let's go back and read that again, saints. Look at that. There it is right there for us to see. that, for this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should what? Love one another. Love one another. And it was an announcement of something good. And the message announced from God requires believers to love their brothers and sisters in God's family. Can I get an amen? The beginning refers to the time Jesus first told his disciples to what? To love one another. And to the time John's audience first, when they all first became believers. Look what it says in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 13. Look at this. A new commandment I give to you. Verse 34. That you love one another as I have loved you. That you also what? Love one another. Look at verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, are we to love everybody, everybody? Let me just say this. If you love people that are unbelievers and cannot love the saints of God that are in the church, something is out of order. Because what you're telling God then is, I don't love none of your children, but I love some of the children of the devil. What? Yes, you're hearing that correctly. We are to love the saints of God. We are to love those who God has drawn. And they were placed in our lives to edify one another, to build one another. Why do you think whatever you say, whatever you do, no matter how many times you've interceded and prayed for the lost ones, they're still in their state? Because they're goats. They're not sheep. They're not God's people. You see, only God's people will discern and understand and learn and obey and try over and over again to get it right with God. Unbelievers won't. They're goats. They don't care what you say. They don't care what God's word is all about. They don't even read God's word. Some of them just call, oh yeah, I believe in the man upstairs. They don't even say his name, the Lord Jesus Christ, because they don't know him. And the Bible's clear that only through the power of the Holy Ghost can they ever proclaim that Jesus is Lord of their life. Oh yes. Look what else I found in this next verse of scripture in John 15:17. These things I command you that you what? Love one another. He was telling his disciples. You got to put it in context here, saints. He was telling to love one another. He wasn't telling them to love the world. Because later on in 1st and 2nd John, he said, love not the world. So he wasn't talking about the unbeliever. We are to be a light before them, that's all. But we need to do everything we can to equip one another that's in the faith, that does love God, that are the children of God. We're more accountable to one another that way than we are to an unbeliever. Until they become adopted by God, it has to be just a cordial existence, a relationship. We can't hang out with them and party with them. And they won't hang out with you, and they won't come even to church. Why? Because they have no thought or no mindset for God. They are goats. I hate to be point and blank with it, but that's what they are. Oh, I know the man upstairs. Oh, you go ahead and go. Have a wonderful day. Go, go, go. Saints, it ought not to be that way. Okay, let's move on to verse 12 of 1 John chapter 3. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Wow. Wow. This is the first murder written in scripture. You see, saints, Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's first two sons. And Abel offered a sacrifice that pleased God, while Cain's sacrifice was unacceptable. And so I found in Hebrews, it says it right here, By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and though he being dead still speaks. What? We're going to see something that maybe this country hasn't heard yet. Or maybe they have. And maybe they don't care. But when someone's murdered, their blood cries out from the ground. And already, 62 million plus of babies aborted, and their blood is crying out from the ground. And where do you see that at, preacher? I see it in the Word of God. I see it in the very beginning of humanity. We have to go back to the book of Genesis to see that anyone that's murdered senselessly, killed because of anger or maliciousness or greed or envy or hatred, and they murder them, the Bible says the blood is crying out from the ground. Oh yeah, let's look at this. Let's look at this. Let's read this story in Genesis 4, 1 through 16. Look at this. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time another brother, Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Okay? And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? Okay? This is God speaking directly to this young lad. Okay, so look at this. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at your door, and its desires is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain went and talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and what? Killed him. Murdered him in cold blood. Now, then the Lord in verse 9 said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, well, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Look at that remark. Look at that. How he responded back to God. And he said, what have you done? This is God speaking to him now. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Did you catch that? That's why I mentioned 62 million plus in this country alone. And those babies' blood cries out from the ground. No differently. So look what he said. God said this. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Look at verse 12. And when you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Wow. 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 Look at verse 14. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. Wow. Wow. So God allowed him to see a sin. And God had mercy on him. But let me just pause right there. God is trying to get the attention of the people of this nation. In the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, there were no mass shootings. A mass shooting was not heard of. And now, in 2023, since January, there's over 380 mass shootings. What? There's 365 days in a year. I'm telling you, lawlessness is here. Like Jesus said, in the last days, it would be times of lawlessness. I just read in this morning's paper, 7 targets are closing down because all these organized, these gangbangers are mad rushing them and ripping them off. And so they are closing their doors. 3 in San Francisco, 1 in Chicago, 2 in New York. Saints, I'm telling you, we are living in the time that Jesus said it would be lawlessness. There would be the Antichrist spirit. Right now, we can't even talk about Jesus no more. And by the way, this law in California that's on the bill now, if your daughter or your son doesn't believe that they are a male or a female, and you go against the law that's in place, that you are not to restrain them from doing any kind of manipulation or transgender operations, that bill says that the city and the state and California can take away your child. That's where we're headed. And did you know California and New York has the most abortions in this nation? I'm telling you, we are under judgment. And everyone is business as usual. We wake up, go to work, we go through trials and all this, and yet God is about ready to bring judgment. My friends, we need to wake up. It's time to smell the coffee. It's time to wake up. Because God had to deal harshly with this man, and God's going to deal harshly with all those that are killing selfishly and all the blood being spilt on the land. Let's finish up Genesis here. Look at this. In verse 15, and the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, of east of Eden. Wow. Wow, saints. You see, Cain brought grain and fruits for his offering, while Abel brought an animal from his flock. You see, Abel's sacrifice, an animal substitute, was more acceptable to the Lord God. Why? Both because it was a blood sacrifice, and most important, because of Abel's attitude when he offered it. He offered it with a right heart, with a pure heart. After Cain's sacrifice was rejected, God gave him the chance to right his wrong and try again. God even encouraged him to do so, but Cain refused, and his jealous anger drove him to murder his brother Abel. Wow. And so, why did he kill his brother? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was right. You see, my friend, John's point was not that Cain murdered and became a child of the devil. No. Rather, because Cain belonged to the evil one, and his anger and jealousy drove him to the murder. You see, you got to remember, Cain was a child of the devil. Wow. Wow. Look what I found in John 8, 42 through 44. Look at this. Jesus said to the Pharisees, if God were your father, you would love me. I'm bringing this point across right now, saints of God. If God were your father, you would love me. The Pharisees hated. The religious folks hated Jesus. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. And he goes on to say, why do you not understand my speech? And then he goes on to say, because you are not able to listen to my word. Let me pause right there. The people that I just mentioned, the people in your life that are not walking with God, exactly what Jesus just said and wrote, John wrote it, is they cannot hear and they cannot see God. Why? Jesus answers it right here. Look at this, verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. Wow, there it is. There it is. You see, my friends, John wanted his readers to understand the terrible results of refusing to love one another. And the lack of love can lead to anger, jealousy, hatred, and finally even to murder. Wow, wow. So, for time's sake, we're going to break down our last verse this evening in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. John wrote, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." Wow. If the world hates you. You see, saints, living a good, pure life now as a believer, you're going to be hated. You're going to be called goody good two shoes. Oh, who do you think you are? I knew you. Oh, you're not so innocent. Oh, you're going to get all that. You're going to get all the filth. You're going to get all the barrage. You're going to get all the naysayers come at your life. But hold on. Hold on. Don't throw in the towel. Listen, do what Job did at the book of the end of Job. Just go to the book of Job and read the last chapter in that book. If you don't want to read the whole story, because there's many chapters. But you know how God blessed Job? He prayed for his enemies. And then after he prayed for his enemies, guess what? God tenfolded his riches. He became the most prosperous man after that moment. That's right. Because everything was taken away from him. His health, his children, his wealth. And then at the very end, he prayed for his enemies. And then God gave him tenfold. What about you? What about you? Can you pray for the ones that are not saved? All you have to do is cry out to God for them. Nowhere in the Word does it say to hang out with them, to be like them, to call their sin, to promote their sin, to aid to their sin. No. We're to just pray for them and hope they get it one day and they come into the saving knowledge. Oh, that's right. You know why? Because when you continue to aid and just contribute to their sin, they're never going to cry out to God because you have become their God. Oh, come on. You know I'm telling you the truth. I won't tell you a lie up here. I know how it works because God had given me wisdom and the Word of God. You see, saints, after telling the disciples to love one another, John added, "Don't be surprised if the world hates you." And let me just say this. Those ones in your life, if you truly cut them out, do you think they'll still love you? No, they really never loved you for who you are. They love you for what you gave them. That's right. But if you cut off the funding, if you cut off pulling them out of a ditch all the time, and they don't even know God, they will hate you. Because the Word of God will tell you. Look what Jesus said. In John 15, 18 through 19, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you too." Wow. There it is. Take it up with the Word of God. Don't argue with me. I'm just the mailman delivering you the mail tonight. You have to receive this and understand what God is saying to us in these last and evil days. You see, my friends, the world is hostile to God. And Jesus wants his followers to be distinctive. He sets the world apart. Listen, it's clear and simple. He sets you and I apart from the world. And our very own separation, hallelujah, it arouses unbelievers' animosity toward us. They hate it when we're sanctified. Why? Because we don't do what they used to do. We don't curse like they used to curse. We don't hang out and do the things we used to do. We don't do drugs and smoke drugs with them as we used to do. All those things. And so, they need to see that you are a child of God, walking in holiness. Well, that's right. And so, my friends, when people become Christians, sometimes their lives change drastically. For me, it did. And this was especially true for the first century believers who had come out of the morally corrupted pagan world. And John's readers, most of them lived in Ephesus. Former pagans would have been involved in the many evil activities. After becoming believers, however, saints of God, they no longer wanted to be involved in such things. Praise God. And as Cain did with Abel, unbelievers reacted in hostility, often because they wanted to justify their own actions or silence their consciousness. That's right. When a person stands aside from certain activities, it makes the others think, and often they don't like that. Why? Because they have no clue to where we're going. They have no clue, no insight why God saved you and I. We are to be the light. You know, I heard it said best. The church is always trying to convert goats. But just go back to what Jesus told Peter. He didn't say go and convert goats. He said, feed my sheep. It's the sheep. It's God's people. They need to come first in our lives. We need to pray for them. Build them up. Why? So that they can continue to press toward the call and the prize in Christ Jesus. Saints of God, I'm here to let you know that Jesus is coming very soon. And if you don't think he's coming very soon, it's not about the timeline that's mentioned in the Word of God. It's about the sign line. Look out your window. Don't be an ostrich who has put its head in the sand. Jesus said, in the last days, perilous times would come. And they're here among us. They're here. It's here already. California has fallen apart. But I'm here to let you know the good news. The good news is if we keep our focus, keep our mind and looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. And those maybe who don't know you and you've logged in, and God maybe is calling you to become one of his children. And it's all done through faith. If that's you, we want to give you an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And listen, God wants to do something so miraculous in your life right now. Oh, yes, he does. And all you have to do is cry out to him like we did. For me, it's been 34 years. I cried out. A custodian led me to the Lord with $500 of crystal meth in my sock. And my life has never been the same. And my heart cry is that you would do the same if you don't know him. So bow your heart and your head with me. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would give you an opportunity to be born again, birthed into the kingdom of God, and that you too can cry out, Abba, Father. Pray with me right now by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I have sinned. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Somebody just gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look down below. That's our banner. Why don't you log on? Email us or call us. We want to put a Bible in your hand if you've given your heart right now to the Lord. We want to point you and direct you to maybe our church that teaches the unadulterated Word of God. Praise God. We live a holy and mighty life now unto God by faith. And I'm here to let you know that God truly loves you. Yes, He does. Also, we are so mighty thankful as we look on the screen right up here. We're mighty thankful what God has done for Amazing Grace. And you can continue to bless us by using your phone at that QR code. Why? Because donations are deeply appreciated. Just give me a quick second here. Just use your phone and your photo and just send a blessing to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, I am so, once again, blessed to have come into your living rooms by faith. And this Sunday morning at 10 a.m., we're having Brother Joshua Herrera come and play his beautiful keyboard with Pastor Andre Minotti. And we hope to see also Brother Angel back with us. And we're praying for Sister Tammy for healing for her knee. God will bless her. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we leave you this benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Be blessed, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.